I was going to look into God's Word for a little while this morning. I want to share with you something that I really believe is very, very important for the church to hear again. Because I believe God is wanting us to actually believe Him for some new normals. Going to read to you some scriptures, and something will come up in a moment. But I want to read some verses from John's Gospel, John 14. I'll begin with. As you're turning to that, John 14, verse 21 to 24. Well, we'll begin from a little earlier. Verse 19, I think, makes more sense to begin there. A little while longer, Jesus speaking, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. The late Miles Monroe, Dr. Miles Monroe, as he was correctly titled, he made this statement, never forgot it, affected my life. He said, make sure those people who are going nowhere go there without you. I had the pleasure in some ways, and also the revelation in another, of, after being away from my home church for a number of years, going back, been invited to speak. I guess what kind of really concerned me was, it had been quite a number of years. Same people were sat in the same places. The same two people gave an utterance in tongues by the Spirit. The communion was exactly the same as I remembered. And when in conversation afterwards, I realized that in actual fact, that invited Christ in, but they're not letting him take control. But I want to speak to you this morning, really on the last part of this verse from Ephesians 1:17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Know him better. How am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to put some other scriptures up there which we're going to read, because I want you to know that what I'm reading this morning is based from God's Word. So I would like 5 people. Well, I've just read 21 to 24, so 4 people to actually find those scriptures, stand up loud and read them out for me. Would you do that, somebody? So somebody can read Ephesians 1 verse 17. Where we all really apply that scripture in honor preferring, isn't it? Yeah. And that's one. Know him better. Next one, Ephesians 3:16. A lady, come on. Next one. John 14, verse 15. If you obey me, love me, you'll obey what I command. Go on, Roger. You've got the last one. John 17, verse 6. Okay, I didn't miss one out because I already read it. Somebody who I heard saying that. Okay, that was John 14, 21 to 24. The thing is, when we become a Christian, we begin a journey of knowing and finding Christ at deeper and deeper levels. Paul says that we might know him better. He says that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. Verse 16 of chapter 3. John 14. So that the Father and him would manifest themselves to him. They would appear. They would inform and there would be disclosure. There would be a recognition that God was there. And there were certain things that Jesus said were important if we wanted to get to know Christ better. I want to go on to the last screen that's going to stay up there for the rest of the time now. I want to speak this morning on how to get to know Christ better. Anybody want to do that today? Anybody want to get to know Christ better? Well, the first thing is this. We have got to have the reality of a personal relationship with Jesus. The reality of a personal relationship with Jesus. I don't know how many people have ever read the little booklet. I searched it out again this week and found that now it's on PDF on the internet. And it's by a man, a Presbyterian minister who died in 2001. In 1951, he wrote a little booklet, and there's even a child's version now. I recommend you get it if you've got children. I recommend that you download the PDF, read it yourself, by a man called Robert Boyd Munger. And he wrote a book, which was called Booklet. My Heart, Christ's Home. My Heart, Christ's Home. And he makes the correct translating of the verses we've been reading, that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The other translation is correct as well, which says that Christ may settle down and be at home in your heart. That Christ may settle down and be at home in your hearts by faith. I believe probably what marks out the Christian faith more than any other is the fact that actually Jesus Christ himself, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, will actually enter us and settle down and be at home in our lives. Christ will make our heart his abode. So Jesus says to his disciples, if you love me, you'll keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our abode with him. This is the wonderful thing that you'll find if you look at that booklet. But here's what is a kind of revelation, I think, because John 14, we often talk about, you know, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many abodes. Yeah? So to his disciples in John 14, he's actually saying, hey, listen, I'm going away. After the cross, after my resurrection, I'm going away and I'm going to prepare an abode for you. But here, he's actually saying something else as well. He's saying, as I am going to prepare an abode for you, I want you to know it's your job to prepare an abode for me. Yeah? So there's something we have got to understand that actually makes it possible for Jesus Christ to come and settle down in our lives. Now, thank God we have the record of the book of Acts and Pentecost. The Spirit of Christ comes and dwells, not in Herod's temple or temples made with hands, but he now comes and dwells in human hearts. The body of the believer is the temple of the living God. The human heart will be the home of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, I can't think of a higher privilege. For him to have a welcome into my life and to actually fellowship with him there. So we're not surprised as when we read in Revelation 3:20, although I know it's to the church, but we use it as a gospel kind of message as well. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Yeah? If anyone will come in, I'll sup with him and he with me. See, the first thing to do if we want to know Christ better is to make sure we've opened the door to him into our lives. That means we invite him in as the one who we know is the Son of God. Our Savior, the only one who can take away our sins, the only one who can bring us to God, the only one who can give us eternal life, comes. Now, Christ, glad to come into our hearts. And this is where the little booklet is so wonderful, because it kind of opens up what it means to have Christ in your heart. Your life. Not talking about the cardia here, the pumping organ. We're talking about you as a person. And of course, this little booklet, you'll enjoy reading it, but let me give you a quick run. He invites Jesus in the booklet into his house and he says, would you like a look around? And Jesus says, oh, yes. He said, well, come into my study first. He goes into the study and looking around, he says, it needs a bit of a tidy up, doesn't it, Lord? Can you make any suggestions? The Lord says, well, he said, you know, I'm going to live here. Them magazines have got to go. Quite a few books on those shelves. Perhaps need to get rid of. Maybe you need to place some Bible in there. Jesus looks at the wall. A few quite scantily clad ladies from some artwork that he's been given. Said, oh, I'm a bit embarrassed about them, Lord. He says, it's okay. And Jesus gives him a full-size portrait of himself to put right in the middle of the wall. Because every time you look at them and see me, you won't want to focus on anything else. Yeah? And of course, he likens that, the study, to the mind. When Jesus comes into our life, he comes into our thinking, into our mind. And so it goes on. I won't tell you them all, otherwise you won't want to read it. But, you know, he goes from the study into the dining room where all appetites are met. Jesus deals with some things in there. Then he takes him into the living room, warm and cozy, and says, hey, I'll meet you every day if you want to. Then there's the workroom. And Jesus says, ain't much gone on here for my kingdom. And so it goes on. Goes into the playroom. Oh, it's full of all the equipment. All the stuff that he gives his time to. Jesus says, spend a lot of time playing. And then he thinks, show him all the rooms now. And then Jesus stands by the door and says, there's a bad odor coming from that little closet under the stairs. He said, oh. He said, what's in there? He said, oh, they're all the things that I just keep for myself. I've put them there because I don't really want to get rid of them. But, I know I shouldn't have them. Jesus says, will you let me go and have a look? Yeah, all right. So he opens the little closet and Jesus goes in and cleans the place out and redecorates it. Of course, the application is simply this. We've got so many areas of our lives. Have we let Jesus into every room? Yeah? Have you let Jesus in to what you do with your life, what you spend your time on? Have you let Jesus into your life for your appetites, for what your mind is? The great end to the story is this, that Jesus stands by the door and says to him, you going out tonight? He says, yes. Can I come? He says, no. Now, we'll go out tomorrow night, Jesus. We'll go to a prayer meeting. No, I'm going out with some mates tonight. He said, that's okay, I'll come. Nah. And of course he leaves Jesus in the hallway and goes and ends up having the worst night possible because he's thinking about the fact that he couldn't bring Jesus into that. And on his way back home, he says, this is enough. And he says, Jesus, come here. Go into the study. And he rushes over to the safe and pulls out the title deeds of the house. He says, Jesus, I want you to be the owner of the house. I'll just live here. You be in charge of every room. See, friends, that's what a personal relationship with Jesus is. See, a God on a crucifix, a God that we just sing about. It's not enough. Jesus wants to come and live in all of the house of your life. So really, the reality of a personal relationship is where it all begins. So he knocks on the door, we open it. You know, the old Holman Hunt picture that my wife's mother had a lovely one. We've still got it somewhere. I think it's up at Swaffham, isn't it? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. No handle on the outside. Has to be opened up on the inside. Yeah? Jesus is allowed in. Allowed in. But now Jesus says, can I settle down here? Can I settle down here? Well, that's what happens if you want to know him better. You begin to realize that he doesn't just come for a short visit on a Sunday morning. He wants to settle down in your life. He wants your residence, your heart, to be under new ownership. Now let's go a blast from the past. Who can remember the song from Sunday school years ago? There's a flag flying high from the castle of my heart. Wendy, you're older than you look. Flying high from the castle of my heart, for the king is in residence there. You're getting going now, aren't you? Let the whole world know. We'll come back to that point because that's really the key to the whole thing. Let the whole world know that the king. Tell your friends, I'm concerned when we have church that's just entertainment, church that's just tickling people's ears, church that's just talking about how much God loves people, and he does. But God does not only love us. He does not only just want us to know his love. He knows that he loves us so much, he has to change us. Yeah? So there's plenty of people out there saying, you know, just want Jesus to accept us. Now we've become a Christian and Jesus has accepted us. Oh, you mean now he wants to transform us? Yes. So I want to say, some people who say they can wave their rainbow flags or do what they like and whatever, you have to be careful, because the Word of God says clearly God loves them. Whether it's any kind, heterosexual, homosexual, or what. What I'm saying is this: the love of God, if it's out of his order, he has to come in, and his residence brings us into what God wants for our lives. But there's people out there now, we can do this, we can do that, we can accept that. Yeah. Come on in. No, Jesus wants to tell you that when he comes in, his goal is new ownership. Can I just remind people of that this morning? If you just want to keep your old life, you're going to have problems as a Christian. You really are. Because when you have that understanding of residency, the next thing is you recognize what a treasure it is. See, in the parables, Jesus talks about the person who actually goes to a field and finds the great pearl, sells everything he has and buys that pearl because it's the greatest treasure he can ever have. Some of you may have read books by Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee used to use this example. He used to say, you can tell how much a person values Christ. He said, I'll compare it to this. If I'm walking down the street with 50 pence in my pocket and I get to my destination and I've lost it, it's no big deal. If I've got 500 quid in my pocket, he said, I guarantee 3 or 4 times on your way to your destination, you'll keep putting your hand in your pocket to make sure it's there. Do that? I've got one of these, got quite a few of them actually, pairs of shorts with different pockets, you know what I mean? So I have my phone here, my wallet here, yeah? But sometimes I go and mess myself up and put it in different places. So when I'm walking along, I'm going, where's my wallet? Oh, it's there. Where's my phone? Oh, it's there. Yeah? And actually, it's a good thing. Do you know why? Because my phone costs a lot of money. Yeah? And my wallet, if I lost that, my wife would kill me. Yeah? But you keep an eye on what you value. So we can see how much a person values Christ. Because daily, they're making sure, he's the greatest thing I've got in my life. He's the greatest thing I've got in my life. And all my life is based on the fact that I recognize I have this treasure in an earthen pot of clay. Yeah? That God dwells in me. Now, probably won't get through this, but never mind. How do we know Christ better then? We start with the reality of the personal relationship. You've let him in. And then you allow him to settle down in your life and move into every room. And that you recognize that he's the treasure within. This is eternal life, John 17 says. That you might know God and Jesus Christ, who he has sent. That is the greatest treasure of my life this morning. Knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. And you know, what we find is that Jesus, speaking from John 13 onwards to 17, continually saying, hey, listen, I'm going away. Right? This is what Judas had a problem with. Not Judas Iscariot, the other one. He said, how can, you know, you be taken from the world, but you're going to reveal yourself to us? I don't understand it. Understand that? I understand why they didn't understand it. Until the Holy Spirit came. Yeah? And then they understood that Christ is in our lives, and Jesus calls him the Comforter, the one who is with us, alongside us, the one who encourages us, the one who strengthens us, is there inside us all the time. And that blows my mind. It's the only place in John 14, by the way, verse 23, anywhere in the New Testament, the only place that actually tells us that the Father indwells us. I know that there's other places we talk about in the epistles as well. Christ in you, right? In John 14, verse 17, Jesus says this, the one who is with you, the Holy Spirit, he'll be in you. You know, I thank God today that the Trinity lives in me. If you're a Christian today, the Trinity lives in you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lives in you. And we're taught by Jesus then to rely upon the Holy Spirit. So by grace I've been saved through faith. It's the desire of Jesus to get closer to you and to live in every part of your life. And faith brings us into a love relationship with Jesus. With all the potential there is to grow. Paul puts it like this in Galatians when they were having great problems. He said, I'm going to pray that Christ is formed in you again. Jesus wants to be fully who he is in our lives. Not surprising then that Hudson Taylor, great missionary to China, he said, the one thing we need is to know Christ better. How do we do that? Well, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. I'm a Christian who believes in repentance, water baptism, and the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? I believe in the gifts. I'm a Pentecostal. Cut me in half. When I was a kid, it used to say AOG right through me. Assemblies of God, because that's how I was brought up. But I want to tell you that sometimes we make a lot about the gifts, and everybody wants that. But I want to tell you, I have learned it's the indwelling Christ by the Spirit that allows me to know Christ better. Allows me to know him better. Because the Bible says this, I can't give you all the references at the moment. It says he speaks of Christ. He reveals him. He helps me to pray in Romans 8. He will abide with you forever, John 14. He pours God's love into your hearts, Romans 5. He fills you with joy because the kingdom's not about eating and drinking. Oh boy, can we hear that today? Kingdom of not is not about eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy through the Holy Spirit. He gives us a joy. And he testifies within. Tells us that in Romans that the Spirit actually comes and witnesses with our spirit that we are God's children. So I want to tell you, friends, the indwelling Holy Spirit is there to help you to get to know Christ better. If you speak in tongues, and I hope you will, that's wonderful, I do every day. If God uses you to be used by any one of the ninefold manifestation of the Spirit, if you heal the sick or if you have a word of prophecy or a tongue or whatever, that's wonderful. But I want to tell you, it's not just about that. It's about dwelling in partnership with the Holy Spirit so you can get to know Jesus better. Do you know what that Holy Spirit does? He guides you to how the living Christ can speak to you. And that's in this word. The Logos, the written word, contains the living word. Yeah? So that the Holy Spirit comes and the very words, my Bible here has got Jesus in red. All his words in red. Because I just like to know what Jesus actually said. Encourage Christians to get a Bible where you've got the words of Jesus in red. Get them in red so that you can know what, because so often, you know, on holiday this time, I just said, God, please, Holy Spirit, could you tell me what you want me to study? And I just felt God said to me, I want you to study from John chapter 12 through to John chapter 17. And in those 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit just said so much to me, showed me so much in my life about who Jesus is. See, people who say they're Christians and don't read the Word, you're never going to get to know Him better. Because the Holy Spirit can only reveal Him through the Word. It's your choice. And I better conclude, 4:15 coming up. But I understand so much why Paul says, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Yeah? So that indwelling Spirit can actually guide you and help you to get to know Christ better. Now the last thing, of course, you get to know Christ better by the response of your obedience. It's a tough one today, isn't it? Because you start talking about obedience, immediately you've got all the ones, legalist, legalist, legalist. I want to tell you, Jesus is saying this, and he was not a legalist. We do not have to be afraid of obeying what Jesus said. He is rightfully Lord and has the right, if you're his child, to give you instruction. So, what does it say? John 14, verse 15. He who loves me keeps my commandments. Then he goes on to say in verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep them. It's a good test, isn't it? He motivates us to say, when you obey me, you'll get to know me better. I don't know about you, sometimes it's easy to obey Jesus. We were up Swaffham with the grandkids yesterday. Quite busy on the market and people. And we walked past the White Hart pub and there's a guy sat outside the pub. And I know him, he's been into our church numerous times. He sat there and he's had a couple of Cronenbergs. And I just turned to him and I said, you all right? How you doing? So not really, I got a really bad back. I said, believe Jesus can heal you? Well, I don't know. So, well, I do. I said, can I pray for you right now? There's all these people walking up and down. I just took his hand and started to pray. Jesus, would you just touch this brother right now? Bring him out of his backsliddenness. Bring him out of his place he's in, out of the pain he's suffering in his back. In Jesus' name, will you do it? And he just put his hand down and says, thanks a lot. I don't know. But I'd rather that have been round my house or in the church vestry. Sometimes Jesus wants to know whether you're ashamed of him or not. Yeah? Because he was ashamed of me. I'll be ashamed of him. See, I never find it any... When my grandkids come round, never find them say, "Come on now, chocolate!" Oh boy, it's easy. They're there straight away. If I shout, "Come on now, Brussels sprouts!" Can't find them. But you see, we need to know the commandments to be able to obey them. Jesus says, "He who has my commandments." You've got to have them before you can do them. So we've got to get rid of ignorance in our lives, because we need to know what Jesus actually says to us. There is no excuse for ignorance. Do you know why? Because we've got this word. We've got preaching and teaching that goes on. There's a million resources on the internet. And yet, why is it that we're living in a society, a Christian church, that seems to be so illiterate spiritually and Christian of the Bible? Because we've actually moved a little bit sometimes to say getting to know God better is in the big deal. Yeah? I want to tell you, sometimes I feel cold in them things. Because I want to show Jesus whether I'm in a big celebration, which I can enjoy as well, or whether I'm not. Actually, I want him to know. I want him in every room. I want the Holy Spirit to reveal him more to me. And I want him to lead me in every decision and change my worldview. Because sometimes what I thought was right is wrong when I come to Scripture. And sometimes when I thought what was wrong is actually okay. So, how obedient are we? How does that grab us today? I found it's quite easy to grab that kind of love that sometimes is all fizzy and warm. But you know, biblical love is actually also a love that is called agape love. It loves no matter what happens. It's sacrificial love. It's love that's committed love. Committed to obey him. Isaiah 5, 20 and 21 tells us that if you look at the world changes its mind all the time. So the constant for our lives that will bring Jesus closer to us is when we obey the Father just as he obeyed the Father. Oh, Paul, come on. Come on, Paul. Yeah, I want God to love us and I want Jesus to reveal himself to us. I want to enjoy a relationship with God that the world can't know. Of course I do, but I'm not perfect. Jesus is not talking about perfection. That's why I read out John 17, verse 6. He says, "For they have kept your word." Clearly, the disciples had not perfectly kept God's word. But you know, Jesus knew they were on a journey. And what Jesus actually, I believe, shows us by saying that of his disciples is that now their overall direction of their life had changed to want to do the will of God. Yeah? You know, Jesus comes to us when he sees that in our lives. Not perfect. So this is my disciples. Look at them. Oh, they're a right weak bunch at times, right? But they have kept my word. The overall direction of their life is changing. So I'm going to draw near to them. And they'll experience my love. I'll reveal myself to them. And they'll enjoy a relationship with God that the world doesn't know. Wow. Wow. So we're not perfect. Perfect like Paul says. But what do? We keep following after. We keep pressing on. We keep going for it. We obey when we don't feel like it. Not just when it suits me. Do you know what happens? Well, I didn't have time to go into it really, but see, Jesus never mentioned that it would be meetings, gatherings, or whatever that would affect the world. You know that? Find me a scripture if you can. Jesus says, actually, when they see me in you, when they see that you've opened the door, let me in, and more than that, you've let me settle down in your life. Yeah? And that by faith, now the indwelling Spirit in your life is directing you more and more through Scripture, that you're realizing Jesus speaks to you through His Word into your life, that you as a person begin to realize, hey, so when you've become a Christian, it's a wonderful blessing. One of the greatest blessings when I was a new Christian was people coming up to me and saying, you've changed. Honey, I was still very imperfect, but the overall direction of my life was that Jesus is in here now. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in here now. And that actually, that is my key to knowing Him better. So He's my wallet. Yeah? He's my treasure. Don't want to lose Him. Don't want to grieve Him. Yeah? Now, if we do, we thank God that there's cleansing and forgiveness. Now, and John, just want to ask you today, and close the book now. Can Jesus really settle down? First, have you opened the door to Him? He's knocking. Can I come in? If you do, I'll sit with you and sup with you. Friendship will begin. But then I want to let Christ into every area by faith. Yeah? That God who loves me, that God who cares for me, that God who's revealed Himself to me, I begin to let Him into every part of my life. Yeah? Wow. I can tell you now, I was 16 when I gave my life to Christ. I'm now coming up 63 this year. He is the treasure of my life. Some people you see on the internet, they put, this is my new car, my new house, this is my new thing. Well, I ain't got a picture of Jesus because I don't like putting on them Americanized ones. Yeah? But the Jesus I know, the little bit I know, and I want to know more of, that I found as the Holy Spirit reveals Him to me through the Word of God, is the greatest treasure I can ever know. This is eternal life, to know Jesus Christ. So if you're not open the door, you can do that right now. But those of us who are, I'll ask you, have you let Him settle down in your life? Is He in every room? So the indwelling Spirit there to guide you to Jesus, there to show you Him, so that when the world looks at you, you know as well as I do, not all the people in Kings Lynn are going to come through this door. But every person you meet tomorrow has an opportunity to see Christ in you. Yeah? Jesus lives here. Jesus lives here. Once heard a black lady preacher say, so when the devil comes to the door, I just send Jesus to answer. Because He lives with me. Settle down with me. The King is in residence. We just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that it's not just about letting You in. It's about letting You live. We pray, O God, today, as Christians and as believers, that we will let You into every room of our lives. Clear out the bad odors. Put some new pictures up. Get rid of some stuff that don't need to be there. Letting You adjust our lives, because we truly, truly want to know You better. Want to know You more. Holy Spirit, who indwells us today, I pray right now, you'll begin to do what you're meant to do. Not to condemn us, but to convict us. To show us so that Jesus Christ can change us. Lord, I pray today, I personally today say to you, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to know you more. I know there's more to know. So every person in here today, I pray, will say that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.